And again, I want to thank the hosts and everyone for coming. We're going to take a look tonight at the issue of women in Ner Chanukah and children in Ner Chanukah, and whether a woman could light Ner Chanukah on behalf of a man, and whether a katan, who's not considered in general to be obligated in mitzvot, whether he could light a Ner Chanukah on behalf of a man or a woman in this case. Now, before we see the Shulchan Aruch, just to give you a little bit of background, we have a principle in Halach that appears over and over throughout Shas called Af Hein Hayubos Anes, that if women were included in the miracle, in the decree, and so forth, then they're included in the obligation. And the prime example of that is Mikra Megillah. So on Purim, women are obligated in Mikra Megillah. Sha'af hein ha'yubos ha'nes. Now let's keep in mind a machlokes as to what that means, af hein ha'yubos ha'nes. The sheet of Rashi is that af hein ha'yubos ha'nes is that they were included in the decree of Haman, because he wanted to destroy Larog Lahashmid Lahabed Anoshim V'Noshim V'Taf. The Rashbam, on the other hand, says it's not that women were included in the decree of Haman, but rather women played a major role in bringing about the miracle. Of course, in the case of Purim, that's obvious. Who are we talking about?
Esther.
In the case of Dalet Kosos, which is a sugya in Arvei Pesachim, again, women are obligated to drink the four cups of wine, Leil HaPesach, because af hein ha'yubos ha'nes. There, the Rashbam has to push a little bit, and he says not that women were included in the gzera of Paro, at least in the Shibud, which itself is a machlokas midrashim, and maybe that's why the Rashbam wants to avoid the Rashi's approach to af hein ha'yubos ha'nes, but rather the Rashbam would say that women brought about the redemption from Egypt. And how so? Noshim Tzidkonios. Bizchus Noshim Tzidkonios, as a result of the saintly women, Nigalu Avil Senim in Mitzrayim. Now, I often thought to myself, the reason why the Rashbam, amongst many other reasons possibly, why he rejected Rashi, and he wants to set the Noshim up as creating, as generating the miracle, it's not enough to say they were part of the decree, because in the case of Mikra Megillah, which again is the paradigm case, maybe the Ketanim should also, by logic of Rashi, be part of the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, because they were also included in the Gzera, Anoshim Noshim V'Taf, Taf referring to the children. So if they were spared through the miracle of Purim, they should likewise be obligated in the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, of reading the Megillah. Unless we come up with a curveball from the side and say, well, children can't be obligated in any mitzvah because, by definition, in terms of their status, a child is a gavra lav bar chiyuva. There are no obligations incumbent upon a child. Okay, be that as it may. What does this mean? Women are obligated in the mitzvah of Megillah. And here comes the big question that you're all familiar with. Is the obligation of a woman in Mikra Megillah, based on af hein ha'yubos ha'nes, identical to that of a man? Or no? Maybe in the case of women, the obligation of Mikra Megillah is a separate independent obligation. It's not equivalent to that of a man. And it comes onto a new category called af hein ha'yubos ha'nes. Now before we get to the obvious nafka mina, let's just think for a moment. What would be the svara to say, by the way, in every single Gemara, it's always Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi who says women are obligated in Mikra Megillah, af hein ha'yubos ha'nes, in Masechet Shabbos Chof Gimel, women are obligated in Ner Chanukah, af hein ha'yubos ha'nes, in Pesachim Kuf Vav, I think it is, women are obligated in Dalet Kosos, af hein, it's always Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi.
What's the story?
Why? He was the one who came up with this concept of af hein ha'yubos ha'nes, and he applied it whenever we would have thought that women should be exempt. Why would women be exempt?
Mitzvah
Seishas Magrom. Oh, so here's the question. Is it that women are obligated equal to men because of af hein ha'yubos ha'nes, or women are obligated under a new category, not the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah per se, or Chanukah per se, but under this new heading, this new category called af hein ha'yubos ha'nes? What's the difference? Can they be motzi men? And that's the sheet of the whose sheet, the famous sheet that Tosis quotes in Megillah that says a woman cannot read Megillah on behalf of a man. The Bahad, the Baal Halachas Gedolos. Tosas quotes it in a few places, but if you take a look in Megillah Daf Dalet, he quotes the Bahad. Pasak Bahad she'ena isha motzias ha'ish. Yeah, yeah, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, Halach Lamaisa. I don't remember the Ramah, but the Shulchan Aruch brings it down, as we'll soon see, in the name of Yesh Omer. Okay, we'll see that in just a minute. So before we get to understand the Bahad, as to why a woman cannot be motzi a man in Mikra Megillah, let's take a look at Halakas Ner Chanukah. This is Siman Tuf Reish Ayin He. And the Mechaber says the following. He says, Isha Madlekes Ner Chanukah, the Sif Gimel. Sha'af Hi Chayeves Ba. Again, I'll read the language one more time. Isha Madlekes Ner Chanukah. Aval im hidlika, if the ner was lit by a chere shot of a katan, lo asa klum. The afal pisha hinicha gadol. So let's say a katan would light an ner chanukah, and a gadol would come along and place it in the window. That's not sufficient because, as we'll soon see, we paskin hadlakos, and it's everything depends upon the act of light. Then the Mechaber says, "V'yesh misha omer shekatan shehigia lechinuch muta." We can allow a katan, let's say at the age of, I don't know, 7, 8, 10, whatever age we determine is higia lechinuch, he can light the Ner Chanukah. And will be yotzei through his adlaka. Now this is all in Siman Tuf Reish Ayin He. Let's jump over to Hilchos Megillah, Tuf Reish Pei Tes, and let's compare the language. In Tuf Reish Pei Tes, Hilchos Megillah, the Mechaber says the following: Hakol Chayovim B'Kriyasa, Anoshim V'Noshim, Gerim Avodim, etc. It's okay, why the Mechaber feels compelled to add Noshim, to add Gerim Avodim, I don't know. Maybe Avodim because Eved Hukash Lisha, La La, has the same status as a woman, and therefore it's Mitzvah Seishman Groma, so we have to include the Eved. Fine. Umechanchim es Aktanim Lekrosa. There's a Mitzvah Chinuch vis-a-vis Kriyas HaMegillah to be Mechanich Lekot. Good. So far, so good. Then he says the following. Yesh Omrim, this is the Bahag, Shahanoshim Einon Motzios Es Hanoshim. Okay? And then he says, Im Hoya Kore Katan, Hashomea Mimenu Lo Yotza. Comparing it to Hilchas Chanukah, the end of Tuf Reish Ayin Hey, Isha Madlekes Ner Chanukah, Shafi Chayeves Ba. What's missing? He doesn't have a Yesh Omrim Shanoshim Einam Otsias Asanosh. That's completely omitted in Hilchas Chanukah. And then he has in Hilchas Chanukah, Yesh Mishomer Shekatan, Shigil Lechinuch, is allowed to light the Ner Chanukah on behalf of the Gadol. He says in regard to Kriyas HaMegillah and Tofresh Peites, Hoya Hakore Katan, Hashomer Mimenu Lo Yotza. Doesn't quote any Yesh Omrim. So let's just summarize. When we do a comparative study between the Shulchan Aruch and Tuf Reish Ayin Hey and Tuf Reish Pei Tes, between the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Chanukah, as opposed to Hilchas Megillah, we find two differences. Difference number one is whereas in the case of Ner Chanukah, women seem to have the identical obligation as men, and they can even be madlik on behalf of men. He does not quote a Yesh Omer, an opinion like the Bahag, in Hilchas Megillah, which we're familiar with from Hilchas Megillah, Tuf Reish Pei Tes, that a woman cannot be motzi a man in Mikra Megillah. In Ner Chanukah, apparently a woman can light on behalf of a man. And in the flip side, we have the possibility, at least in Hilchas Chanukah, that a katan could light a Ner Chanukah on behalf of a gadol if he's a yilachim. Something which is completely omitted in Hilchas Megillah. Two questions. Question number one, why in Chanukah is the Bahag, apparently, according to this analysis of the Machaber, the Bahag would admit that a woman's obligation in Ner Chanukah is identical to that of a man? Nafkamina! that she can light on behalf of the man. In Megillah, the Bahag insists, no, a woman doesn't have the same chiyuv. Now, Kamina number two that has to be explained, why is a katan able to light Ner Chanukah on behalf of a gadol, according to the Eish Omrim, where such a sheet is completely omitted in Hilchus Megillah? Those are the two questions. Anybody want to take a stab at it? I mean, anybody?
It couldn't possibly just be different, because the concept of Kriyas Megillah is very similar to Kriyas HaTorah, where the whole concept of
but wouldn't you say, Alan, if you're equating it to Kriyas HaTorah, then there's more of a reason to say in Mikra Megillah that a katan could be motzi of God, and maybe even an isha.
Or we say because of Kavod Tzibur.
Well, can't cover that secret, but still,
yeah, that's a concept that wouldn't exist by halachic standards.
Again, I don't want to get into issues that are very current, you know, but but it says that Anisha's old Lavinian Shiva, okay, cover that secret. But well, let's say the case of a cotton. I mean, the Rav once discussed, if let's say you would read the Torah and you have in mind not to be motzi someone in the tzibur. Huh? You want to be motzi everyone except for that bum over there. In your mind, he's a bum, right? So the Rav used to say, etc., in the name of Moshe, that bum, so to speak, can be yotze his chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah, because when it comes to a Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibur, it's not that you have to be motzi every individual. You have to read on behalf of the tzibur. Now the whole tzibur is yotze. You can't exclude anyone. So in the case of an isha, again, in the case of a katan, to create this entity called Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibur, maybe we would include them. I don't know.
Say maybe the Messias, meaning it's a lot more difficult to read the Gila than it is to like
Hanukkah.
I'm saying it might be just that.
We're worried that they won't do a good job.
The das of a katan at the age of 10 already can light candles. Can be having enough das to remind them to read the whole Megillah and have it covered.
The only thing is, Moshe, I'm just worried that what will be in a case where she read the Megillah and she did a perfect job.
No, I'm talking about a katan. I'm talking about a katan.
Or even a katan, if he read the Megillah and he did a perfect job.
No, but I'm saying it's not in terms of just being able to be Kori the Megillah. I'm saying in terms of the das to be Moksa.
The das to be Moksa is no different whether you're reading Megillah or lighting candles. The das element is
the same. Oh, you're saying.
So let me mention a famous, you know, I always like to talk about the brisket derech. You know, you're familiar with my approach on that. And I always like to take a chakir from brisk and see if we can plug it in. So one of the famous categories, abstract categories that brisk operates with, is when you start with someone who's exempt from the mitzvah, and then you include them into the chiyuv for reason X. What does reason X do? Does it neutralize the original reason that we exempt them, the original p'tur, and now they have the same exact chiyuv like anyone else? Or does reason X emerge as a separate category, as a separate chiyuv with its own rules and regulations? The nature of that obligation is separate, it's independent. Okay, this all sounds very abstract, but let's plug it in here. You start with the assumption that women are exempt from all these mitzvahs that we mentioned because there's man grom. Now you have a factor to obligate these women. And what is that factor? Afhein hoyu bo tohanes. Yesh lachmer. How does afhein hoyu bo tohanes work? Does it neutralize the p'tur of zman groma? Or does afhein hoyu bo tohanes, as we said earlier, generate a new category? And the difference is going to be whether we equate the chi of women with the chi of men. If we say that afhein hoyu bo tohanes completely undermines and neutralizes zman groma, then women end up with the same identical chiyuv as men. But if we say no, the ikar mitzvah is man grama, and in the ikar mitzvah, women are exempt. However, afhein hoyu bo tohanes creates a new chiyuv. Call it pirsum hanes. In the act of hadlaka, they were exempt. It's man grama. In the act of mikra megillah of kriya, they were exempt. It's man grama. However, women are obligated to be mefarsim the nest, to publicize the miracle. How do they do so? Through a kriya, through a hadlaka, through drinking dalet kosos on Leil Pesach. Why do they, the women, have this obligation to publicize the miracle? Because of afhein hoyu bo tohanes. But the ikar chiyuv, the fundamental obligation, whether it's kriya, whether it's hadlaka, whether it's shtiyah, they were exempt from. Because that exemption remains in its place. Because it's man groma. And this would be the Bahag's approach. The Bahag says that women do not have the same identical chiyuv as men. Men have a chiyuv in the ikar mitzvah, we'll call it the maisa. Plus, on top of that, they have a double chiyuv. They have to be mefarsim the nes, because they also have hafei noy betos nos nes. They're not inferior to the men, to the women. The women don't have the ikar mitzvah, call it the chiyuv maisa, but they have the chiyuv through this action to be mefarsim the nes, and that's called hafei noy betos nes. Says the Bahag, we have a serious problem here. If a woman reads the Megillah on behalf of a man, she and he do not share the identical chiyuv. His chiyuv is a twofold chiyuv. We'll call it a double chiyuv, tartei lechiyuva. Her chiyuv is reduced to one chiyuv. She only has the obligation of pirsum anes, afein hoyibot anes, but not the fundamental chiyuv of the maisa kriya.
Rabbi, if you could then hypothetically create a situation where you are accomplishing, or a woman is accomplishing her obligation of pirsum anes without actually doing a maisa, then that would be enough. So couldn't we just argue that she has to sit at a seder with dalkos and
pirsum? Oh, wait, so let's get back to Purim. Okay, let's figure out what, in the case of Purim, what is the mechanism that Chazal established for Pirsum Anes? What's the vehicle? Kriya Samigilah. So they'll need to do the Kriya, right? They'll need to have a Kriya, not because of the Ikar Chiyuv, the obligation that comes to them for Kriya, but as a method, as a means to achieve their goal and fulfill their obligation of Pirsum Anes. What would be the parallel Maisa Mitzvah in the case of Ner Chanukah? The vehicle through which we fulfill Pirsum Anes, lighting the candles, Hadlaka. So again, a woman doesn't have the Ikar Chiyuv of Maisa Hadlaka, but she'll need the Hadlaka in order to achieve Pirsum Anes, in order to participate in Afein Hoy Bo
Toh Anes. She doesn't have to make a bracha for that.
She doesn't have to do it.
Yes, she does. I'll tell you why. Because her bracha is a bracha on the chiv that she has. Again, she can't be motzi a man with her bracha, according to the Bahag, but she has a chiv bracha nevertheless, because any mitzvah...
But there's pirsum without a bracha.
And that's not the lashon of the bracha, right?
Good, but any mitzvah you could fulfill without a bracha. If I'm mafresh truma, I can be mekayim the mitzvah of mafresh truma without a bracha. But then I forfeited the bracha. We want to get the kiyum bracha. So any mitzvah, any chova requires a bracha, and she'll also have a chiyuv to bracha. I thought, Gil, maybe you were asking a different question. Maybe instead of two brachas, we should reduce it down to one. That would be an interesting question. Maybe Shasa Nisim would be enough.
Right.
Maybe she doesn't need Wahadu. That would be a fascinating question according to the Bahak. Or in the case of Mikra Megillah, maybe she shouldn't make a bracha on Mikra Megillah. We should alleviate her of that bracha and just obligate her in the bracha of Likra Samegillah, Kriya Samegillah. That's a fascinating question. Sarachim Gadol, according to the Bahag. So again, let's just explain. If I reject the Bahag, which Tosus rejects the Bahag, but it's brought down to me.
Even if you say that they're not obligated in the Hadlaka, let's say, for example, we know that in any other mitzvah, they can still do the mitzvah and make a bracha, according to Ashkenazim anyway. I mean, there's no problem with women making a bracha.
Oh, you mean to say on a voluntary basis?
It's not worse than any other institutions on Rama.
That's interesting. That's an interesting point. Alan's making an interesting point. I should call you Rabbi. You've been here in this territory, right? Okay. You don't mind if I call you Alan. That's No, he's making a fascinating point. He's saying, why should Ner Chanukah, even as far as the first chiyuv is concerned, even if we alleviate the notion based on the analysis of the Bahag, nevertheless, why should it be inferior to any mitzvah that we alleviate women? Bitaris mitzvah seishas van groma, at least according to the Ashkenazim, who pass like Rabbeinu Tam, a woman can make a bruch on an optional mitzvah, like shofar, or lulav, based, or sukkah, I should say, based on the fact that they have a kiyum mitzvah even without a chiyum mitzvah. That's an excellent point. It's not going to help us for the Sfaradim, for Achenu bnei Idot HaMizrach, because they paskin like the Beit Yosef, which goes back to the Ramam Shita, against the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, that women, even in Azman Grama, although Ain't a mitzvah, also they can opt for the mitzvah, but they can't make a bracha asher kishanu mitzvos v'tzivanim. So that would be an interesting question. If you hold like the Bahag, and you would combine that with the sheet of the Mechaber, based on the Rambam, that women don't make a bracha unless they have a chiyuv, what would be in the first bracha of Lahadlik, if that combination would exist? Fine, I don't want to get off on the sidetrack, because now, I want to again just very quickly recap what we're saying. There are two ways of understanding Afein Hoyvot on this. The sheet of Tosus, and apparently the sheet of the Rambam, is that Af Heid Hoyvo Ta'anes puts the Noshim back into the original Chiyuv, into the original pot. They have the same identical Chiyuv as men, and therefore they can be Motzi a man in Mikra Megillah, etc., etc. The Bahag, on the other hand, says that Af Heid Hoyvo Ta'anes generates a new independent Chiyuv. It does not put the women back into the original chiyuv. As far as the Iker chiyuv of Maisa Mitzvah, they are exempt under the halach of Mitzvah Seishas Man Groma. They're obligated under Af Hein Hoybo Tandes. If this be the case, the question is, can we come full swing around and make a distinction between Mikra Megillah on one hand and Adlokas Ner Chanuk on the other hand? Because we're assuming, and this I think is 100% correct, that in Mikra Megillah at least, whoever reads the Megillah has to be Motzi, the person who's listening to the Megillah. That's called Arvus. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh. So here the principle, the condition is that we both, A and B, share the same Chiyuv, and therefore Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh. So A can be Motzi B, or vice versa, through the principle of Shomea Kohanah. Not like Kriyas HaTorah, by the way, which is a Chovas Tzibur. In the case of Mikra Megillah, we have a classical Chovas Yachid. Maybe there's an additional dimension of, what shall I say, embellishment to the mitzvah through the Tzibur, if you read the Megillah publicly. But clearly the mitzvah of Megillah is incumbent upon every individual, and if he can't make it to, and the women very often can't make it to davening, I mean, now they have special Kriyas for the women. In Har Nof, where I am, it's gewaldig, it's great. The women get to go at a later hour than we do. We have to wake up very early. They can go at 9, 10 o'clock and hear the Megillah reading. But be that as it may, there's no need for a tzibur of men at the time that the women hear the Megillah. And for that matter, even for men, they could be otzi there. At least they're chovas yachid when they hear the Megillah from one person. But then the Kori has to have in mind to be motzi the other person, who's the shomea, through Arvus, through the din of Shomea Kohanah. But in that case, the stipulation is that who's ever being Motzi someone else, he, the Motzi, has to share the same Chiyuv. He may have already fulfilled his personal obligation, that's irrelevant, but at least he's a Gavur Bar Chiyuva. In general, a Kotan can't be Motzi a Gadol, even if you'll postulate a Kotan may have a Chiyuv Derabanan, but if a Gadol has a Chiyuv Doraisa, a Chiyuv Derabanan is not included in Arvus for a Chiyuv Doraisa, and therefore the Kotan can't be Motzi a Gadol. Good. So as far as Mikra Megillah is concerned, if we operate within the frame of reference of the Bahag Shita, everything is crystal clear. She doesn't have the same Chiyuv as a man. She doesn't have Arvus in the Iker Chiyuv Kriya as a man according to the Bahag, because she's alleviated of that Chiyuv by virtue of Zman Groma. Therefore, she can't be Motzi a man. Fine. What about Ner Chanuk? Is there a way of saying that in Ner Chanuk we don't really need her to do a Maisa Hadlaka in such a way that that Maisa Hadlaka relates to me or to anyone else through the mechanics of Arvus of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh? What does Hadlaka's Ner Chanuk have that Mikra Megillah is lacking? I'm sort of trying to lead you into this.
It's an individual act.
I mean, it stays there for a while.
Exactly. What is it? I don't know. I don't want it. My wife knows I don't like pronouns. Yeah, what stays there for a long time?
Candles
invisible for
exactly.
A long time.
Exactly. I'm going to say it in brisket terminology. The heft of the Ner. You see, in Mikra Megillah, all we have is the reading of the Megillah. For that reading to relate to someone else, we need the mechanics of Yotza Motzi, of Shomea Kohaneh, and we both have to share the same Chiyuv. In Ner Chanukah, there's something else. In Ner Chanukah, the Maisa Hadlaka creates a Ner. For example, the famous Brisa. Who remembers the famous, famous Brisa of Ner Chanukah? Tana Rabbana, Ner Chanukah, Ner Ishu Beso. It means that the Chiyuv of Ner Chanukah is focused on the bias. If there's a Ner that qualifies as a Ner Chanukah, then all the Bnei Abayas could be Yotze through that Ner Chanukah. Again, the Maisa Hadlaka.
But if her Maisa, if she's not obligated in the Maisa Hadlaka, and we say Hadlaka Ose Mitzvah, so even though she's doing a Maisa Hadlaka, which is not obligated, how could you say that for the aspect of Maisa Hadlaka, that she can be Motzi to him if they don't have the same Chiyuv?
Because he doesn't have a Chiyuv in the Maisa Hadlaka either.
But we said Hadlaka Ose Mitzvah.
Yeah, okay, we'll see what Hadlaka Ose Mitzvah means as opposed to Hanacha Ose Mitzvah. We'll get right back to that. But follow me now. What I'm suggesting is that I don't need a Maisa Hadlaka either. A Maisa Hadlaka has to have been done. Because otherwise, lacking a Torah's Maisa Halacha, if the Halacha doesn't recognize this act of kindling as a Maisa Halacha, then it cannot create a Cheftza of an Er Chanukah. For example, Cheri Shota V'Katan. Before we get to Katan Shigil L'Chinuch, let's say a 5-year-old child, or a Shota, would light a candle. That candle is not an Er Chanukah. Al Pi Din. All the dinim that apply to Ner Chanukah, for example, also Lishtami Shleorah, would not apply. And certainly I couldn't be Yotzi through that Ner Chanukah as a gadol. Why? Because the katan doesn't have a Maisad Loka. His Maisad Loka is meaningless. Is therefore his Ner Chanukah is meaningless. But who could create this entity, this halachic entity called a Ner Chanukah? Someone whose Maisad Loka is meaningful. Because they share some element, even a partial element, in the chiyuv to create that Ner Chanukah. Who shares at least part of that element, one element of that picture of a chiyuv of Ner Chanukah, and is obligated to create this Ner? Is it only the men folk? It's also the women folk. And even the Bahad doesn't deny that. Because since a woman has the chiyuv b'toras afhein hoivot ha'nes, to be mafarsim the nes, she has to create a cheftz of an Er Chanukah. Therefore, we have to recognize her Maisa Hadlaka insofar as it can create, it has the power to create a cheftz shel Ner Chanukah. What happens once she creates this cheftz shel Ner Chanukah? Even the gadol can be yotze. If the chiv of Ner Chanukah is the Maisa Hadlaka, and her Maisa Hadlaka would have to relate to me through Arvus, she doesn't have the identical chiv that I have. And therefore, we would not apply the din of Yatza Motzi, of Kol Yisrael Ravens have said. But, wait, well, just give me 1 minute. To the extent in which her obligation is to create a Cheftz of Ner Chanukah, just like a man has to create a Cheftz of Ner Chanukah. The only difference being is that a woman has to create a Cheftz of Ner Chanukah, not mitzad Ikar HaMitzvah, but mitzad Pirsum HaNes Afein Hoyu Bot HaNes. That Afein Hoyu Bot HaNes, even if I grant the Bahag, is sufficient to create a Cheftz of Ner Chanukah. She doesn't have to be motzi me. She just has to create the cheftz of Ner Chanukah in the bias. Anyone who's related to that bias, either because he's a ben bias or because he chipped into the ner, in the case of an achsanya, a vachsanoi, he could be yotzei through that creation of a Ner Chanukah.
Right, that's my question. Why is there an obligation if it's beisel? You're staying at a house. Now that there is a hadlakas ner happening in the house, why do you do misarach
halacha? Because you're not a ben bias. If you depend upon
it's
the...
It's not a mitzvah on the gavra. It's a mitzvah on the bias should have a hadlakas ner, and now you're participating in pure sumhanes.
No. It's a mitzvah on the b'nei bias to create a ner chanukah in that bias. But if you're not a ben bias, then that ner chanukah doesn't relate to you to fulfill your obligation. Unless you become a ben bias. Now, how do you become a ben bias? Do I give my plastic card, my Visa card over to the Baal HaBayis? That's not how the Chazal organized it. They established it that the Achsanoi, by participating in the Ner itself and owning part of the Shemen, he becomes a Shutof, a partner in the ownership of the Ner. That's enough to make him into a Ben Bayis, magically. Again, we would need hours and hours to analyze that halacha, but that's the way they established.
What if the woman is a guest at the house? Would she be able to light for the men in the house who are b'nei bayis?
I don't see why not. As long as she can create a cheftz shel ner chanukah. If the chovas gavra v'nisha under the category of afhein hoyu bot ha'nes is sufficient to generate a cheftz shel ner chanukah, I don't care where she does it. She can do it on the face of the moon.
Even for this house, she doesn't have the real ability to create the.
Neither do I if I'm not part of this bias. Right? If Alan says to me, Rabbi Berzon, I want you to light the Ner Chanukah for me tonight. Right? Do you want to be mechaber you with Ner Chanukah? So the question is, but I'm not a ben bias. And let's say I didn't chip in, and I'm not eating here, whatever it might be, I'm not sleeping here, whatever halachic requirements there is to become a ben bias midin achsanoi. So if that be the case, then how could I be motzi Alan? The answer is because I can create a cheftz shel Ner Chanukah. Because insofar as I share a chiyuv of Ner Chanukah, even if it's not the same identical chiyuv as Alan, I have enough chiyuv to create a cheftz of Ner Chanukah.
But isn't that hadlaka fundamentally different? Because if we're going to say that there's two aspects of the chiyuv, there's an aspect of hadlaka and there's an aspect of pirsum hanis. Isn't the Maisa Hadlaka fundamentally different then? If my Hadlaka is for the purpose of Pirsum HaNis, right? As opposed to my halakha being both. Isn't there a difference in that halakha? Isn't that halakha fundamentally different?
It may be fundamentally different, it may not. I don't know, we have to really analyze that. But one thing is clear, that if you need that ma'isad looker, if halachically it's incumbent upon you to do that ma'isad looker, or for someone to do it on your behalf, in order to create this Ner Chanukah so that you can use that Ner Chanukah as the means to fulfill your personal obligation in Ner Chanukah, then, Ein Ochinami, you could create that Cheft of Ner Chanukah. Because you have no other way of fulfilling your obligation if you don't have the option.
But I'm not creating. It was created already.
You mean she asked somebody else to create?
She lit the candle.
She lit.
Right?
Right.
So now, I'm not creating. Now, I have a double chiyuv. Right? That's the terminology, right? I have a double chiyuv. How am I going to accomplish both?
Because you appointed her...
To say that she can light for the Pearson Hanes aspect, I understand. Because then we're the same. They're the same level of obligation. But for her to say that she can light in terms of my chiyuv hadlaka.
But again, your chiyuv hadlaka, the way we're defining it now, in order to understand
to do the act
the bahaga and the machaper, is not the act of lighting. The act of lighting always remains, whether it's for you or for her, a hechetimta, means through which you create a chefetz shel ner
chanukah.
Just say your chayv in the ikar mitzvah of creating a ner chanukah, she's only chayv to create a ner chanukah in order to achieve afein all you both
are. Can I use a ner double?
Oh, so that's going to depend on the machlok shinad luck and anocha, which we're about to get into. But just before we get into that, I just want to chaperine something else that I'm very excited about, and that is katan. Do you remember that in Mikra Megillah, Tafresh Pei Tes, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it? A katan could not read the Megillah on behalf of a gadol. Here, to our astonishment, in Tafresh Ayin Hei, the Machaber brings down an opinion which claims that a katan could light an Ner Chanukah, and we, the gadolim, could be yotzei. That's a pella. But the answer is, say it out loud.
No, the chinuch is enough to obligate him enough so that he can do the act that would then qualify as hadlaka for the bais, and then we can be.
Wait, to qualify as what? Wait, before you get hadlaka for the bais, you're heavy into the bais, but I'm heavy into the air.
Correct. So then that qualifies.
By virtue of his chiyuv chinuch, he can create an entity of an air chanukah. His memela the gedolim can be yotzei. I don't think there's another way of moving here to explain this pella of a shita that a katan could light their chanukah on behalf of a gadol. It completely undermines everything we know. And I'll tell you the truth. Even if a katan higil chinuch, let's say, wants to bench for me, and I only ate a kizayis. So now, loch is v'achalta v'savatu beirachta, if I didn't eat kidei svir, which is kideitza or more, then my obligation vis-a-vis Birkas HaMazon is only Dirabanan. So can a katan be motzi me in Birkas HaMazon? Cannot. Why? Because he's what's called trade Dirabanan. Number one, he's Dirabanan on the level of, let's say if he ate a kezayis, okay, we'll get back to the case where he ate a kebetza, that's something different. But if he ate a kezayis, that's one Dirabanan. And number two, he's chayv only midin chinuch, that's trade Dirabanan. And once again, that drops him, downgrades him below the level of a goal, he can't be mivarech.
Even if he ate kibetza, there would also still be a chinuch chiyuv. It'd still be a derabanan.
Oh, so then you have to know. This gets into brisket Torah. But you could say that if he ate kidei svir and the gadol only ate kibetza, then they both have chad derabanan. In the case of the gadol, his chad derabanan is the fact that he didn't eat a kibetza. In the case of the katan, his chad derabanan is that he only is chayv midin chinuch. Again, a lot of the brisket Torah that we spoke about will kick in over here to see once again whether his chiyuv and chinuch is enough to generate what I call the ikar chiyuv, even on the drabanan level. Whereas the gadol may have the ikar chiyuv, the katan, the Torah's chinuch, might not have the ikar chinuch.
Can we see? If the Chavar Paskin that a katan can, in this case, create this entity that was calling this entity in the Yerchanaka, then the Chavar has to understand the concept of chinuch as well, that it's a chiyuv on the actual child, correct? And not that it's a chov.
Correct. Excellent. And we'll get in, I don't know how much time we have, but we can hopefully get into that too. But at this point, I want to get into that other issue, Alan, that's been burning you a lot, you know, that you're all seduced about, as you say, and that is hadlokos and mitzvah and hanokos and mitzvah. So let me mention the following. Tosus and Masechta Shabbos on, I think it's Chaf Gimel, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe it's Chaf Beis and Beis. I don't have access to Sfarim on this trip, so I'm just kind of. He says the following: if you hold hanochos a mitzvah. Let's say a word about hanochos a mitzvah. Hanochos a mitzvah means the hadlaka is totally irrelevant. The ner fell down from shamayim. Okay? For example, the ner was lit by a cheresh shotu v'katam. Says Tosus, you can take that ner and do what's called a maisa hanocha with it. You pick it up and you place it in a certain makom. Let's say Pesach based on Mibachutz in the classical case of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. I don't know if it's Manazeh, you have to know, but in the classical case. In Yerushalayim, we still try to do it in that way. Pesach based on Mibachutz. Once you place down the Ner, that itself is the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So I thought, when I learned this Tosis, that if you hold Hanochos a mitzvah, there's no din of Mais Hadlok at all. Period. Except for one problem. The Gemara itself says that if you had an Ashishis that was lit for Shabbos and it lasted the entire Shabbos, then after Shabbos, even according to the man, the Omer who holds Hanochos of Mitzvah, you've got to be Mechav in the Nair and you have to light it again. What do you say?
Chavilos, you don't want
to do. Not Chavilos, Chavilos, because I'll tell you why it's not Chavilos, Chavilos. First of all, Chavilos, Chavilos, I don't know if it applies in the Heftish of Mitzvah, but even if it does, which is a sugya in Arvei Pesachim about using the same kos for both Birkas Hamazon and Abdullah, or Kiddush, you have to know all the different innuendos of that sugya, which I'm not prepared to talk about now. But even so, Yaakov, I would tell you it's still irrelevant to us. I'll tell you why, because Chavilos Chavilos only applies when you're doing both mitzvahs simultaneously in one chefza. Here, the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos has already been fulfilled. It was fulfilled 23.5 hours ago, probably, or whatever. But you were lucked out, and your Ner Shabbos is still Doluk. You know, it reminds me, Lahavdil, of these Yisker candles, you know, that they have that last, I don't know, last forever, you know. So, you lucked out. Now you have a Ner. Why not just pick it up, put it down, b'makom adloka, according to the man, the Omer Hanochos of Mitzvah, and b'yotze. So Tosis raises this question, gives a very strange answer. He says that in the case of the Ner Shabbos, mitchiloso lo hidlika el l'shem Shabbos. Masha enkein, I don't have the lashon of Tosis in front of me, but Masha enkein cheir shot v'katan hidliku l'chanuk. I mean, l'chor, what is he talking about? What do you mean cheir shot v'katan hidliku l'chanuk? You can't take that seriously. But he's just contrasting it with a case of Ner Shabbos where you lit Friday for Shabbos, and now you want to use the same candle on Saturday night for Shabbos.
Would it be the same if I, let's say, I want to do the Ikur Mitzvah, I want to do Ner Yishmi, so I'm going to light one candle every night of Chanukah. I'm not going to light any more candles. And I light, the beginning of Chanukah, first day of Chanukah, I light one of those 7-day Yisur candles. Can I use that candle? It stays Daluk. And it was lit L'Shem Chanukah. Can I just leave that candle there for all the time?
Well, no, you have to do it myself. No, you'd have to.
I do it myself. Yeah.
Then it's no worse than Cheir Shot V'Katan. Why should it be any worse than Cheir Shot V'Katan? An excellent question. But Tosis says that Shabbos is worse than Cheir Shot V'Katan. Why? If the whole mitzvah reduces itself to Hanacha, so to the same token that I could do a Hanacha on a candle that was lit by a Cheir Shot V'Katan, which is clearly Mufka from my Sadloka, L'chol Dinim. Yet I did the Hanukkah, and my entire fulfillment of the mitzvah concentrates itself in the Hanukkah. Why can't I do the same thing with the Ner Shabbos? Look, what do you see from this Tosfos? I think is a fascinating conclusion. Hanukkah mitzvah is not that far from Hadlokah mitzvah. There's one basic common denominator, namely what? Can you use my terminology, my Briscoe language? Even if you hold Hadlokos a mitzvah, you need a Chefze Sholner. The only difference is that if you hold Hanochos a mitzvah, you can create a Chefze Sholner through what? Through Hanocha, obviating the need for Hadlokos. But Medvar Mamur, if the Ner doesn't already have a status, if the Ner has a Chalushem, it has a personality of its own, then your Hanocha is not powerful enough, doesn't have enough koach to generate a shame Ner Chanukah. Says Tosfos, here there's a difference between Ner Shedliku Mitchilasa L'Shem Shabbos. So what status does that Ner have? It's a Ner Shabbos. A Ner Shabbos is antithetical to a Ner Chanukah. That we know. The Gemara's whole sugya. Rav Isaacson used to always talk about this sugya every year at our Chanukah party. You remember this?
Yeah, only have.
Did you hear of Heisen at our house? No.
No, not the house.
Oh, you never heard him at our house. He used to always say over this Torah. The Gemara says, if you have enough money for one there, what should you use it for? Ner Chanuk and Ner Shabbos. So he has a whole drasha about the difference between Ner Chanuk and Ner Shabbos. Very beautiful drasha. But on a halachic level, before you get to drush, you see one thing, that one Ner could certainly not serve a double purpose. You can't kill two birds with one. Not because the chavilah is chavilah, but simply because a Ner Shabbos is antithetical to a Ner Chanukah. The entire essence of a Ner Shabbos is to benefit from the Ner. The essence of a Ner Chanukah is also l'shtamish li'ora. So once you've established a personality, so to speak, an identity to the Ner, and it now is identified as a Ner Shabbos, it can never ever serve as a Ner Chanukah. So it comes out that even if I hold Hanukkah as a mitzvah, the Chiddush is that the Hanukkah generates the Chal Hashem Ner. If I hold Hadlaka as a mitzvah, then I need the Hadlaka, and only the Hadlaka could have the power to create a Keftishol Ner Chanukah, as we say, that entity, that personality. If I hold Hanukkah as a mitzvah, magically the Hanukkah itself could create the entity of a Shem Ner Chanukah. Is Memela says Tosus Chayrei Shota V'Katan is neutral. Again, you could say they had Kavan L'Shem Chanukah, whatever you want to say, but it's meaningless. Chayrei Shota V'Katan is a Lambar Das. But the answer is, it doesn't take on any particular personality. It's not worse than an air that fell from Shemayim.
But if a Chayrei Shota V'Katan lit a candle for Shabbos, you could use that candle for Chanukah.
Ah, I hear. That's an interesting question.
Because if it, you know what?
For that, I think we'd have to get into Ner Shabbos a little bit more deeply. There's a Tosis, the famous Tosis of Ner Shabbos, Chafayim and Beis, that long Tosis, and he wants to know whether or not there's a din of Hadlaka in Ner Shabbos. For example, let's say you had a Ner that you lit on Tuesday. Do you have to put it out and rekindle it on Erev Shabbos, L'chvod Shabbos? Which might depend upon two dimensions of Ner Shabbos. There's Kovod Shabbos and there's Oneg Shabbos. So you could really have a blast with that. But let me think about your question, Alan. It's an excellent question. What would be if a Katan or a Cheresh lit a Ner Shabbos L'Shem Shabbos? L'Chori, you're right. Then the Hanukkah should be fine. It's only when the Gadol created a Ner Shabbos and through his Hadlokah L'Shem Shabbos, the Ner took on the entity, the complexion of what? Of an Ner Shabbos. Then Hanukkah would not be sufficient. So again, the nafkamina between Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah and Hanukkah Osa Mitzvah would be the following. What happened if a Ner was lit by a Cheresh Shota V'Katan? If I hold Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, you need a Hadlaka Al Pi Din, a valid Hadlaka with a Shem Hadlaka, in order to generate the Ner, then Cheresh Shota V'Katan can't do so. Unless a Katan Shegiel L'Chinuch, the way we wanted to say it in the Machab. But if I hold Hanukkah as a mitzvah, I don't need the Hadlok Al Pi Din to create a Ner Chanukah. I need the Hanukkah, and then Hanukkah could do it. So that would be the difference about Cheresh Shota V'Katan. Good? So the only point that I want to make here with this Tosfos is that even though Hanukkah has the power of creating, of generating a Ner Chanukah, but Medvar Mamurim, if the Ner itself is neutral, it doesn't have a status of its own. But if it has a status of a Ner mitzvah other than Chanukah, for example, the classic case of an Ner Shabbos, then you cannot do anything, even a Hanukkah, to convert it, to upgrade it, to transfer it into a Keftz of an Ner Chanukah. Just to say a few words about Pirsumei Nisa. I don't know, did any of you ever see why you put out this thing called Chanukah to Go?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. You haven't seen it?
Yeah.
This Chanukah to Go, this one was dedicated to our organization in Toronto. The previous one, which I think was Yom Kippur to Go, or maybe Sukkot to Go, I don't remember, was dedicated to the Kollel in Chicago, which is also a YU Kollel Mitzion operation. So this one was dedicated to our Kollel, and I was very proud of the fact that every single member of our Kollel wrote something for the piece. So I just want to share with you, I'm hoping to whet your appetite to read my article, but just one little piece that I was machadish in the article. The concept of a miracle, of a nes, which is so central to Chanukah, maybe more than any other holiday, because the mitzvah of Chanukah is basically not only Pirsum HaNes, but Hallel. You know, Purim you can debate, there's one day in the Gemara, Rav Nachman, it's Kriyas HaZui Hilula. But you have to really analyze that very properly. But halal per se, by the way, where does the Rambam codify Hilchus Chanukah? I'm sorry, Hilchus Halil, all the halachos of Halil. Yeah, you would have thought you'd find in the Shulchan Aruch Golem in Hilchus Yontif. No, he leaves with Hilchus Chanukah. Because Chanukah essentially is a day of halal. Kavosom chachomim kivei halal vodoya. So halal is for a nes, for a miracle. There's no kedush sayom, it's not like Yontif. I mean, the Gemara says that even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur fundamentally require halal, but just Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mason. The Rambam calls it Yira, the days of Yira, Yisera, and therefore there's no halal. But that's all because of Kedush Sayom. Chanukah has no Kedush Sayom. There's no Yisra Malacha. There's no Mitzvah of Simcha. There's nothing. All you have is halal in two forms. Halal in the form of Hal b'peh, and hal in the form of hal b'maisa, basiyah, yidei, adlokas, and there. Hal is on the nes. But why do we need miracles? When you think about it philosophically, a miracle seems to indicate that there's something going wrong in the system. You know, God created the universe based on teva, on nature, with unbelievable laws of nature. In the short amount of time that we were down here in Florida, we got to see the Science Museum, and we learned a little bit about some of those laws of nature, especially gravity. And there's no need, ostensibly, to change those laws of nature, because those laws of nature were authored by Almighty God. He's perfect. If He's perfect, His world should be perfect. So the question is, why do we need miracles? So I tried to suggest the following. Based on a kasha of the Noda B'Yehuda in Drashas Hatzlach, he asks the kasha, what's unique about the Ner in Migdash, the Shemen Shebener, that Hashkacha Pratis isolated that particular phenomenon or dimension of the Avodas HaKarmon, of the Avodas HaMigdash, for the Nes? There were many other areas of Avodas HaMigdash. For example, he mentions the Nesachim, the Niskeyayin, and the Yevonim with Akitamidos. And what else does he mention? And the Dam Fizrika, whatever they were Metame, they were Metame. But he says that there's something unique about the Shemen. Why? Because the Gemara says that the menorah of the Migdash is Edus L'chol Bayolam Shashchina Shorah B'Yisrael. That candle that was lit in the Migdash, and the Noda B'Yehuda says it was really two dimensions. It was number one, the Ner Ma'aravi, because it was a great miracle on a daily basis with the Ner Ma'aravi. It was lit first, and yet it lasted as long as the other candles. And then the special miracle of Chanukah, of the Pach HaShemen that lasted for 8 days, says in the Noda B'Yehuda claims that the first day of Chanukah is Keneged the Ner Ma'aravi, that miracle. And what was so special about that miracle? Because after the Yevonim were Metame, the Shemen, then no doubt that miracle of the Ner Ma'aravi was removed because the Shemen was contaminated. So on the first day they lit a Pach Shemen of Shemen Tahar, and the celebration of the first day of Chanukah is for that great miracle of the Ner Ma'aravi that was restored. And his testimony on the Shechinah Shor B'Yisrael. And the other 7 days, for the fact that the Shemen, miraculously, supernaturally, lasted for another 7 days. I think that in this Noda B'Yehuda, this Tzlach, we have the answer to our question. Why does God need a miracle? What's the need for a miracle, the necessity for a miracle? Doesn't it indicate that this world that God created cannot function based on the laws of nature? But the answer is that God created this world not only with the laws of nature, with one other element, bechira chofshit, freedom of choice. And in order to create a world with room for freedom of choice, there had to be room for man to see the world in such a way that it's imperfect. Asher bara Elokim lasos, that man could participate together with Almighty God in an act of tikkun to fix up this universe. Imagine if the world was perfect in every way. If everything went exactly as it should, according to the original laws that God created, then there would be no freedom of choice. Man living in a perfect world would be a perfect being, and he would certainly acknowledge God's existence, the divine presence. Now, God let man utilize his own freedom of choice. But is that freedom of choice endless? Does it know no bounds? Rashi says at the beginning of Chumash, Bereishis Bishvil Yisrael Shenekarim Reishis. The whole purpose of creation is for Yisrael. What happens when man abuses his freedom of choice and he jeopardizes the whole purpose of creation, namely Klal Yisrael? So God steps in. And that's the military battle. That's Ravim Viad Miyakim, etc., etc. But we needed one more miracle. One more miracle that would clearly indicate that this nation of Israel has been chosen to be the mechanism, the vehicle for Pirsum Elokus to publicize the reality, the belief in God. That this nation justifies the entire creative process. That's the miracle of the Pachashem. Whether it is the Ner HaMaravi on the first day which was restored, or the Pachashem on the other 7 days. Why? Because the menorah supersedes in a very unique way all other dimensions of the Avodah. And that is that it's Eidus Leboi Olam Shashchina Shorah Bisrael. The Greeks tried to chase out the Shechina to disconnect Klal Yisrael from the Shechina. But through this great miracle, and through the Chashmonaim, and through the Tara process of fixing up the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechina was restored and testifies to the fact that we, the Jewish people, have been chosen as the nation of Almighty God to bring about the Pirsum Elokus Ba'olam. And I want to conclude again by thanking everyone for being here tonight and to be mispallel to the Ribbono Shel Olam that he should bring about Nisim v'Neflos, to once again see in our days an end to all the terrorism and all the wars against the Jews and all the anti-Semitism, and that Jews should somehow awaken to feel that identity as a Jew. The Rambam calls Chanukah mitzvah chaviva hi ad ma'od. There's something about Chanukah that stirs every single Jew, no matter where he is. I remember, Charn, you remember we went down to Eilat on Chanukah, and the Lubavitchers were lighting in the Kenyon. Have you ever been there? It's what? It's really something to see. Every store owner comes out with Chabad, and they light, and they sing, and they eat sufganiyot. It's really beautiful. So we should be zochet to see that his orus of all of Klal Yisrael and the kibbutz Golias at the time when the Migdash HaShlishi will be rebuilt. Because God created those miracles then, Payom Mahem, but we should be zochet to see these miracles, Bizman HaZeh, speedily in our days, Ken Yiratzon, V'nomar Amen.